Hare Krishna. So one thing I learned from Srila Prabhupada, that if we want to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, then we have to achieve all kinds of wonderful things. Just sitting down, we are not going to achieve much. We have a very important mission to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And that impossible task can be achieved only by doing inconceivable things, by achieving inconceivable things. Prabhupada himself showed us how to make impossible possible, and Srila Prabhupada has left a legacy behind for us to achieve by spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Srila Prabhupada has done the groundwork. Srila Prabhupada took the movement all over the world. But we have the responsibility to go to every town and village and make it happen there. In a simple way, I'm just trying to do something. Sometimes devotees think that I always think big. But the thing is that unless and until we think big, we cannot possibly achieve big. Prabhupada didn't want us to become small time. Prabhupada himself was big time, and Prabhupada wanted us to become even bigger times. And this IT park project, often people think, why I am embarking on an IT park? My point is that this information technology is the technology of today. We have a very, very important message to convey. And this is the most effective media. So we must use that media. Like, just to consider, ISKCON is an international society, and still today, we do not even have a TV channel. We do not have our own worthwhile website even. So anyway, I mean, we may not have things today, but that doesn't stop us from acquiring it tomorrow. I think we have to try to, and I want you all also to take up this spirit of Srila Prabhupada and try to do something big. One of the things that I'm planning, I'm actually thinking on in terms of getting involved in preaching in America. And that's a project that I'm working on now. If everything goes okay, then we'll launch that project next summer, starting from Boston, where Srila Prabhupada landed first, where Prabhupada touched the soil of America. And this project is to get a cruise ship and go from port to port, carrying the festival of Hare Krishna. This cruise ship, it's not going to be a very big one. It'll probably have the facility for 350 to 400 people. Out of that, about 200 will be full-time involved people, full-time devotees who will be in the ship. And another 150 to 200 will be the facility for guests to come. And the idea is that we'd go from one port and stay there for 7 days. We'll arrive there on Thursday. On Friday, we'll have a massive Harinam and book distribution. Then Saturday, we will have a Rath Yatra festival. And we'll have advance party that will go and make all the arrangements, take permissions, get the location, set up everything. And then on Saturday, we'll have the Rath Yatra. Then the Rath Yatra will end in a festival site. And we'll have a festival there for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll invite people into the ship to give them a wonderful Hare Krishna experience. We'll have exhibits, we'll have virtual rides, and let us see all that we can prepare by that time. And that festival in the ship will end in a gala banquet, a massive Hare Krishna feast. And so this way, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we will have the program in the ship. And then on Thursday, we'll go to the next port. In America, I think within 100 to 150 miles, we'll have a port. And in this way, we'll go from port to port, carrying the Hare Krishna festival in Jaladuta by for a week in each place. And now we are starting a pilot project on the bank of the on Ganges. Probably we'll start it from October. This will be just a trial run in India to see how it goes, just to gather some experience. And we'll have the same program in India from October till January, and for 3 months, October, November, December, January. For 3 months we'll have this program. We'll go from one city to another, not city, one port to another port, on the bank of the Ganges for 3 months, and then we will launch the project in America. I think in America, to do something, to create some sensation, we have to do something unique. And that's the way I'm thinking of doing. Otherwise, as I was telling this morning, the reality is our temples are empty. People are not interested to join us in the temple. But if we have a program like this, if we go to a place, I'm sure in every port we can pick up at least 10 people, 10 young boys. They can come for a 15 days free ride in the ship. And in 15 days we should give them such a wonderful experience that they'll never want to leave the ship. In this way, in about 3 months' time, we can get a considerable number of new bhaktas. And these bhaktas now will be trained on the land. In some place we'll have a bhakta training program. And in this program, in this whole project actually, I'm trying to involve many of my godbrothers who actually left the movement. They left the movement, but today they want to come back to the movement. But they don't know where to come back, what to do. And this is a kind of project which will inspire them very, very much. And especially when it comes to training the new bhaktas. And when you have devotees, then the movement will spread. For example, if we can train up 100 devotees, if we can pick up 100 devotees, if we can make 100 new bhaktas in 3 months' time, and we train them up for another 3 months, then after that, they can be sent out to distribute books. We can have 10 buses, each bus having 10 devotees going to different universities to preach. Just like we used to have the Radha Damodar party, we can revive the Radha Damodar party spirit once again. And anyway, this is a plan, this is something that I'm planning right now. If Krishna wants, it will happen. And if Krishna doesn't want, then what can I do? Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And those of you who didn't go to Ujjain, please come to Ujjain. There also I am doing a few things, like just to take care of the devotees. Right now what is happening, I want to give some good news about Ujjain, that, you see, Ujjain is a small place and we cannot kind of locally collect money to maintain our temple. And Life Membership Program is a program that I seriously want that this program should stop. We have made enough life members that we'll not be able to take care of in 100 years to come. So why increase the number of life members just to earn some money, just to maintain our temples? So locally, I'm not collecting anything. I was arranging to take care of the maintenance of the temple all this while myself through different means. But recently, very close individuals have come forward and relieved me from this responsibility of maintaining the temple. It actually happened the day after the Nijala Ekadasi. Nijala Ekadasi, as I broke fast, I received a phone call from India, and they gave me the good news that they decided that they will maintain, they'll take care of all the expenses of Ujjain Temple. And so now I am relieved to do other things. And they're also helping me. The group of individuals are helping me in a very, very remarkable way. And I'm seeing Krishna is actually sending me the help. Krishna is actually helping me. And if all these projects that I'm planning to establish, if they happen, I'm sure our preaching will have a very positive thrust. And let's see. So please come to Ujjain, because that is the place where I am trying to do something. That is where I actually started to do something. Previously, I never got involved into big time preaching as such. Prabhupada gave me, during my first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, he gave me the responsibility or service to translate his books into Bengali. And that's what I used to do. Like, I used to just sit in one corner translating Srila Prabhupada's books into Bengali. And then in 87, I became involved in the GBC. And that actually took me out, and I got involved in management. And not only management, like practically trying to bring the broken pieces together and just keep the entity of the institution of ISKCON somehow going together. Because by 1986, there was a major, major crisis in our movement. And that's why in 87, ISKCON had to be restructured, so to say. The GBC body had to be restructured. And in many ways, we tried to do some reforms in ISKCON. And since then, I got involved in management. I became a part of the GBC body. And then I got involved in Abhay Charan project in 1995. And that is what took me out, so to say, and into a project. Prior to that, as a GBC, what I was trying is simply to troubleshoot. There were crises everywhere. So many leaders actually left the movement, and as a result of that, our movement was facing a major crisis. And so it was trying to put the broken pieces together. Then Abhay Charan was the project which gave me the impetus to get involved in doing things. because I was shooting Srila Prabhupada's life, and shooting is a business. It's something like, you set up a temple in the morning, and in the evening, you dismantle the temple to go to another place to set up another temple. So that gave me a much needed experience, I must say. That's why, to tell you frankly, when I got involved in Ujjain to build the temple, for me it was not really a big thing. And I was quite confident that I would be able to complete the temple in 1 year's time. And I made the arrangements beforehand. Like, when we decided the plan, the architectural design was finalized. That also, practically for 15 days, I sat with the architect from morning till evening, and we got the design complete. Then when the design was complete, I went to Makrana in Rajasthan, where the marble work was to be done. And I started the marble work, even the groundbreaking took place. The marble work started in December. January, actually. Started the marble work in January, whereas the groundbreaking ceremony was on 20th of April. 4 months before we even started to dig the land, the marble work started. Because I knew marble work will take a long time. And as the structure was going up, they're cladding the marble in the temple. And that's how it happened. Anyway, as I was saying, like, this Abhaycharan project gave me a lot of experience and expertise in this. And then Ujjain project gave me more insight, more experience, and so Ujjain is sort of my base. I can't deny that fact. Although I'm not spending so much time in Ujjain now, but virtually it is my base. And that is where I'm trying to do various things. And just to give you an idea, like, the concepts come and I try to implement them in Ujjain. Like, recently in London, I saw one of my disciples. She is quite old, and she's a widow. Although she has her sons and daughters in London, but she lives alone by herself. And she's an old lady. She recently had a heart surgery, but still she is all by herself. She cooks, she cleans. Maybe she has a cleaning lady, but the cooking she does herself. And so I told her, why don't you come to Ujjain? And so what I'm doing is I'm bringing her to, she's coming over to Ujjain. Already she is in India now, and she'll come to Ujjain when I go back with her whole family, her sons and daughters and sons, daughters-in-law. They're also coming. And my point is, my idea is that she can just stay there, and we can get a kind of a maid servant who would take care of her during the day. It's not going to cost very much, but she'll be much more comfortable and much more secured in a situation like that. Like, so in this way, this is just the beginning. And what I'm thinking is to set up a place for the elderly devotees. Like, when they get old, no one is to take care of them. And the temples in the West are not really prepared for that, because things here are so expensive. It's virtually impossible to take care of a person who is not really financially situated. So these are the simple, small projects that I'm thinking of establishing. And so that's what I'm thinking, like, we'll build an old devotee's home. And, like, if the accommodation is taken care of, then the prasadam is there in abundance. Every day, now we are feeding 30,000 children. So if we can feed 30,000 children, we can feed at least 300 devotees without any difficulty. And then the elderly people need medical care. And in India, medical care is quite reasonable. And we are also planning to set up some sort of a hospital, small hospital. And we'll have also Ayurvedic treatment. So elderly people will have their treatment and their care and their prasad. So, and eventually what I want to do is set up a school, because Ujjain is the place of Krishna Balaram's place of education. It's Krishna Balaram's place of education. So this place must be the center of education for us. And I'm negotiating with the Madhya Pradesh government for 100-acre piece of land. And there I want to set up an international boarding school. And I know once we set up the school, then children will be coming from all over the world. Because with the parents, one of the most pressing responsibility is the education for their children. I have seen many parents in the West, they don't want their children to go to the existing schools there, because they know how dangerous that atmosphere can be. And so if we can set up a proper school there. And another thing is that this boarding school in India, if my calculation is, probably it will cost about $300 per student per month. Now in the West, even if the children goes to a private school, a public school, it costs about $300 to $400 a month per child. Now there, they'll be in a boarding school having the first class education, and the curriculum that we are planning to carry out there is the International Baccalaureate. That's the internationally recognized school system. And if you have that degree, you can get admission anywhere in the world, in any university in the world. Anyway, these are the few plans that I have. Let's see, this is what I want. Now let me see what Krishna wants. Thank you all very much. All glory to you.